There's always a flurry of activity around Ashland State Services. This year, we also have a meaningful Ash Thursday at the Valley. Thursday being my regular day as chaplain. Then, Lent seems to settle for a few days. I have sorted out what I will do for the season of prayer, of fasting, and almsgiving. And I think I have an overview of coming church events. And then, the tension builds and builds. Week by week, the Bible readings tell the story of Jesus' approach to Jerusalem, getting closer and closer to his enemy, and his inevitable and painful death. Today's readings overflow with images of death. Ezekiel pictures an entire valley scattered with bones, like the destruction that remains long after battle. The bones are very dry. There is left not even a drop of moisture, of blood, or of life. Ezekiel pictures closed graves, whose human remains are forever lost from view, from the possibility of contact. He pictures the nation of Israel, who have so entirely lost hope that their bones feel as dry as a mourner's who has lost the sensations of hunger and thirst. Then we hear that Lazarus was entombed for 4 days. The belief at that time, being that the soul hovered about the body for 3 days, so the separation of the soul and body would have been fine. We hear about a community mourning and weeping and consoling each other. We hear about a closed tomb, cold and silent and isolated. We hear about the stench of death and the claustrophobic burial cloth. And Paul reminds us of our lives in a flesh that is subject to conflicting and transitory desires, and the flesh then dies. Maybe in our day we don't like to talk so much about death, but we do confront its twin, destruction. If our interests are ecological, we are aware of environmental disasters. If our interests are political, we are aware of wars and of destructive social structures. If our interests are psychological, we are aware of damaging relationships and the entombment of the silence, secrecy, and judgment of shame. I remain a Christian because my faith admits to the reality of death and destruction. I also remain a Christian because I long for something better. With the psalmist and with all of humanity, we call from the depths of our fear and vulnerability and woundedness, waiting and waiting for the something better, waiting more than watchmen in the night wait for the morning. Mary and Martha and the disciples also lived with this long. When Lazarus dies, in the middle of the busyness of a funeral and mourning, exhausted from weeping, they look for the something better. I picture them sending a message to Jesus and having their conversations with Jesus a little timidly, shyly. Things aren't going so well here. We long for something better. We think you might be the one who can help. I see this shyness, this timid hope, this longing for God in so many places. In my own life, in silent prayer groups like the Centering Prayer Group or Christian Meditation Groups here, in Bible study, in intercessory prayer services like the one at the well, in conversations with folks about their lives, in spiritual direction, in worship, in fellowship and service. Jesus gives us the answer to our longing. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. life that is something better. He works through our senses and our body wisdom. He shows us Lazarus coming to life. In the same way, it is our physical bodies that learn that we belong to the body of the church. Every time we participate in church liturgy or social event or outreach, we learn with our minds and with our bodies that God fulfills our deepest longings. And we also need to learn with our emotions. When Jesus saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. Hearing these words, we can feel that God cares. It is not only that we long for God, God also longs for us. The desire of God for our friendship breaks open our crustiness. The desire of God for intimacy with us makes our hearts of stone come alive. With the light and life of Christ in us, our mind, body, and emotions are transformed, are enlivened. In communion through the Eucharist, we become wholehearted. In community, we unbind each other. We bring life to each other. We walk out of our tombs of shame, our tombs of silence and secrecy and judgment, into lives of voices shared, of communion and of acceptance. We awaken to our longing already being fulfilled. We sing and pray, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you life."